We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, you're such a you check into everything. I mean, you are an attorney. You represent a number of dozens of craft breweries and distilleries, and you have other types of lawyering that you do. But you also are a fan of many sports teams. And we were talking off the air. The Gopher basketball team, it's abysmal.
Yeah.
One Big Ten win and of their 7-17 record, just one Big Ten win. That is brutal.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's sad to see too, Bob, because you know, I grew up in an era where you didn't have an NBA team. You know, the Timberwolves weren't here until I was, you know, almost in college, right?
Yep.
And I'm talking with my dad, you know, that was a time where the Gopher basketball team was the big thing in town. And to see them struggling this way, I mean, one conference win, seven wins overall, is disappointing. I thought, you know, Ben Johnson was going to have a better go of it. I'm surprised as to how bad they are this year, but I also know there's, you know, the thing is, I think that there's, when it happens, I think that it deflects attention over to other programs in town. So you have another Division I school in town now with St. Thomas, and they're doing well. You have the MIAC with, I see that it's Carleton, St. John, St. Mary's, and McAllister that are all, you know, in the MIAC playoffs.
Yep.
So fortunately for college basketball fans in this state, there's a lot of other options, but it's disappointing when the supposed flagship school is struggling like this.
You know what, Jeff, when they hired Ben Johnson, I mean, I hope that it worked out, but I also said at the time, why not hire a veteran coach, bring in Johnson, who's been an assistant his entire career, came from Xavier to here, had been an assistant at Minnesota in the past. I didn't think he had their credentials. And if he hadn't been an alumni, he wouldn't have gotten this job. I think they were looking to save money because they spent so much on the football program and they still owed money to other coaches. So I guess I'm not surprised to a year and a half in that it's not going well. And yeah, you could say, well, give them time. But by year two, in basketball particularly, you would start seeing an improvement because it you could turn around a basketball program relatively quickly. So I think they're going to have to blow him out at some point.
I think one thing that hurts, Bob, more, you know, this increased use of the NCAA transfer portal.
Yep.
Especially in basketball, where you have guys at some schools that will play 1 year, maybe 2 years, and then jump to the NBA. I think that the Gophers get hurt by that. I think that I think it's hard for recruiting initially because they're not a school that historically has a lot of players that jump right to NBA after say 1 year or 2 years.
Yep.
And I think that if someone comes here and the team struggles, it's too easy now. You stuck it out and you played for your team. Now you can literally leave like a free agent in professional sports. And I think they're feeling the effects of that.
Well, because they will lose guys after this season, I would almost guarantee you.
Absolutely.
With a team and a record like this, what kid wants to stick around, particularly if it's a kid that's not getting a lot of minutes? He's going to want to go somewhere else. And the beneficiary of that could very well be your Tommies. Because if you want to live and stay in this area, it is a good option to go there.
That's a good point. I have heard, I forget where I heard this, but there's a rumor going around that the athletic department at the University of Minnesota has told the men's basketball team at the University of Minnesota that in no uncertain terms are you to ever even schedule an exhibition game with St. Thomas. There's no upside, and it could be embarrassing if the Gopher basketball team loses to the Tommies.
Well,
and like you said, it could be a problem. You know, it would be a feather in the Tommies' cap for recruiting too. I mean, that's, you know, so I have no reason to doubt that's true, that they would say something like that. I mean, it would be the extreme embarrassment to lose to a team that was Division III 3 years ago.
Well, and I also have no doubt, actually, last year was their first year. They went D1, right when Johnson came into Minnesota. But certainly Johnson will be outcoached by John Tower, who is a terrific tactician, coach, great guy. And he, I mean, here's a guy that he teaches psychology classes at the University of St. Thomas. So, you know, he's a very well-versed man in many things. And you and I have known him on a personal level. And we're, you know, I it's not unfair to say we both like him. And, I mean, I'm a fan of his, and I hope things continue to work out for him. You know, conversely, I don't know the coach at St. John's as well, but my son goes there, so I'm a fan of all the St. John's sports, particularly the rugby team, of which my team plays.
You know,
my son plays.
With St. John's, I remember everybody made a big deal about John Gilardi. Remember Jim Smith, the basketball coach?
He was around forever, too.
He was around longer than Coach Gilardi, and he and had a really good track record. So, you know, that, I remember when I was in school at St. Thomas, the rivalry with basketball was much more even, and I remember packing the gym when the Johnnies were in town. It was a bigger, you know, it was a more fun game to watch as a Tommy because the rivalry was a little more balanced there. But they've always had a strong basketball program, as you know, as well. And I think part of it goes back to they had a similar longevity in their coaching.
Well, and the thing about that, I have no doubt that if the Tommies stay now, this league they're in, is they're likely to stay in that one, or are they going to try to keep moving up? And
so I think they'll stay at the Summit League. They're in there with South Dakota, North Dakota, North Dakota State. So I think that the basketball team has landed where they're going to be.
That's a good bunch. Yep, that's a good competition. Yeah. And you win that thing, you're going to the NCAA tournament.
Right. Exactly. And that's the question. I want to make a prediction here, Bob. Unless something turns around with the Gophers men's program, I think there's a good chance that you could see St. Thomas get an NCAA tournament seed before the Gophers do again.
Well, you're right.
And I hope I'm wrong, actually. I mean, I would love to see them both in it. But one conference win in the Big Ten, that's unbelievable.
It's pathetic. Absolutely.
I couldn't believe when I read it.
Yeah, that's just absolutely brutal. But when you take a look at photos or video of their games in the stands, it's like tumbleweed going through the stands. And that's for a college basketball program to have that. Like you mentioned, you and I remember when that place would be rocking. Back when Clem was the coach, it was always rocking. You know, and packed.
It was packed. You couldn't get another body in there.
No, it was the ticket to have. So, all right, I want to wrap up with this question with you, because I mentioned at the outset that you represent a lot of craft breweries and distilleries. What is it like now, 3 years post-COVID, the beginning of COVID? Are some of them, I mean, are they coming back, or is it getting better, or are they struggling because a lot of these, you know, after what Minneapolis did to most establishments, not just craft breweries, how are the ones in Minneapolis and how is it overall?
I'm glad you asked that, Bob, because it's relevant to what's going on at the Capitol right now with this marijuana bill. A lot of these guys, particularly the ones in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and even in the suburbs, have done really well selling these non-alcoholic THC-infused beverages using their exemption created last year, where THC derived from hemp, right? Not cannabis, but THC derived from hemp. And under the current – now, they're saying they're going to fix it. The chair of the Commerce Committee in the House has said they're going to fix it. But at the moment, the way that the legalization bill is written, they wouldn't be allowed to do those anymore. And I can tell you that they made a lot of money back that they lost during COVID selling those beverages last year. I think there's going to be some restrictions on them, you know, in terms of like on-premise consumption. I've advised my clients, don't serve them on-premise, sell them to take home and consume there. Don't have somebody taking those and leaving the brewery. You don't know what the effects are going to be. But also the other thing we're seeing is a shift of business models, particularly in Minneapolis, where you don't have the foot traffic anymore for various reasons. People aren't going downtown as much. People are working remotely. You have public safety issues. Still some people that don't want to sit in, you know, close quarters with a bunch of strange people. You won't see that tap room traffic that you once had. And so as a result, more breweries are shifting to a traditional production model, you know, getting canning lines. You'll see some of the breweries, the Minneapolis ones, are setting up production facilities outside of the metro. For example, my client Dangerous Man, which is in Northeast Minneapolis, they're just putting the finishing touches on a production facility out near us in Maple Lake. between by you and I and here in Wright County, you know, because they needed a larger footprint to be able to do production and do distribution. So we're seeing kind of a pivot in the business model, but also those THC infused beverages have definitely helped too.
Well, Jeff, thanks for that update. Let's talk more about that next time we chat.